All right, anytime you want to start. Start. Sorry.
You know what? If you were like at the Olympics and you had the gun, you would be the guy shooting the runners.
That's right.
By mistake. All right, here we go.
I want to put all of my...
eggs in one basket.
No.
You want to count those chickens before they're hatched.
I want to put all of my...
ducks in a row.
No, I can't think of the word now, the phrase. But you know when you...
cook your goose.
When you come too early. What is that called?
Arriving too early at a party? Something, premature ejaculation.
Premature ejaculation. I want to put all of that into my life, but not into my sex life.
Wow. I don't want to do this show here. Friends, and welcome to Sneaky Dragon episode 166. I'm Ian Boothby.
And I'm David Dedrick.
Thank you for joining us yet again. Much appreciated.
Yes.
We do appreciate your listenage.
We don't encourage it, no, but we appreciate it.
That's right. That's a Canadian way. We never advertise. We never say, please listen. But once you do, we go, thank you, stranger.
And we
tip our hat to you.
That's right. Our hat with the ear flaps on it.
Mm-hmm.
That everyone wears.
Yeah, and so the back of our neck gets very cold for a brief period of time. It's a bigger deal in Canada to tip your hat because you actually suffer a little bit of that biting cold. This is not true in Vancouver. Listen, the rest of the North America right now is in a snowmageddon-copalopalypse.
Yes,
it's the worst, and everyone's showing pictures of their houses under snow. And right.
And all those newspaper headlines, Snarmageddon.
That's right. You see like mothers and they've got like a baby carriage and the baby carriage is covered in snow and they're shrugging their shoulders like, what am I supposed to do? And then they just walk away. whereas here in Vancouver, smooth sailing, man. Like maybe a little spritz of rain, maybe just a little bit of, that's it. And you're fine. Everything's good.
Yeah.
And we look like jerks just because our weather's nice.
We're like, people call, like I talk to people all across Canada in my job and...
Because you've got a call-in radio show.
I have a call-in radio show.
You state controversial opinions.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You're like, candy tastes bad, and your calls. Then people call in from all across Canada.
Dave, first-time caller, long-time listener. I think candy tastes good. I don't know. I don't want to go out on a limb here, but I really do like it. Caller, I'm afraid you're wrong. Candy is awful. Actually, I would enjoy a show like that where I would just argue completely untenable things.
I think that's this show. What are you talking about?
Maybe that's why I enjoy that part of the show so much.
That's why we now have people like writing in calling you an asshole.
Well, I don't feel I was being untenable. I was being unreasonable in my argument, but I don't feel that my argument was unreasonable.
Well, all your fancy words really seem to, you know, are really winning everyone over. Well, I think I'm untenable, but not unreasonable. Hey, fellas. Hey, what's with the beating, boys? Why are we still... I said it was untenable. Not a... Well, bang, 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 bang. There you go, Poindexter.
Well, I think this the one idea that movies from a long time ago are as good as the ones now is, I don't think that's an impossible argument to make.
So. Oh, are we going back to that?
Okay. I don't think we have to argue it. I just don't think it's a ridiculous argument.
All right. Do you think, let me ask you this then.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think the Beatles made rock and roll better?
Yeah.
Do you think rock and roll was as good as it was before the Beatles? Or did the Beatles make it better? Is that an example of something got better to you?
Well, but then it gets worse? After the Beatles break up?
Oh, I'm not even going with that. I'm just saying, like, we're 5 years before the Beatles, okay? And now we're into the Beatles. Now, the music 5 years before the Beatles, think of all that music.
Mm-hmm.
Is that as good as the music during the Beatles era? And you're including the Beatles in that.
The Beatles' best, I mean, okay, the Beatles at their best were better than anybody else.
Saying music.
I mean, that's subjective, of
that's
course.
Nice, okay, but we're talking on the whole. You know, you could with your movies... You know, argument. You could just pick like a movie from then, and you could pick a movie from now, and go like, "Well, this director is better than that director."
Yeah.
And so that was there. But we're not doing that. We're going like as a whole, because that was your argument with movies.
No, it wasn't as a whole. I just said the best movies of the '30s.
Yeah.
The best movie is as good as a movie from now. Is as good as the
so
best
would
movie
say,
from now.
So you say? All right, we're going like I don't know. Let's
so
say
if you choose like the
59, the best music of 59, and then like whatever you want to count, like the Beatles' best year. You know, was the Beatles' best year better than the 1959 for rock and roll?
Oh yeah,
so you're going yeah.
1959 was a real ditch because Elvis went into the army and Buddy Holly died.
Okay.
So the major movers
okay.
there was a lot, you know, and then Jerry Lee Lewis had, legal difficulties. Right. And
here's the one thing that I find like a bit of a drag is like when you say that that movies are not better now, the best movies aren't of then aren't any better than, or sorry, aren't any worse than the movies of now. To me, you go like, oh, all right, I understand. Because also, you don't want to say of your era, you don't want to be the arrogant person going, this is the best.
Apparently, era. You do.
Well, I think it is generally the best era.
Why?
I think it's generally the best. Oh, because we've also got that stuff. So we've got that plus that. It's like.
Well, yeah. I mean, but that's true. But I mean, I just think that.
It's like 30. It's like, you know, when you got like all the flavors of ice cream, you're like, I liked it better when there was vanilla and chocolate. There still is vanilla and chocolate. Ah, you know, all right. But what I'm saying, here's where I think it gets like a bit of a drag.
Yeah.
Because like as an artist, then you got to go, all right, but there's not, that means then there's probably not going to be anything better in 100 years from now. So if we look at movies 100 years from now, they're not going to be any better. Because if you say there hasn't been any improvement from the 30s to now, that is 80 years.
Okay.
So there's been no improvement in 80 years, meaning 80 years in the future from now, there will still not be any improvement. Everything will still be same.
But I don't think that's, but I mean, you could say the same thing about novels. I mean, I think Dickens is as good a writer as any modern writer writing novels right now. I think Trollope, I would put Trollope against any modern writer now.
Right. So that's like about 100. I would put, that's more than 100 years.
That's more than 100 years.
So I'm saying,
I would put Shakespeare against any modern playwright.
So
in
does
terms
that
of,
mean, all right, now, but then as an artist, you'd go, you know, there's not going to be better writers. Writing isn't going to improve in 100 years.
Doesn't
your art form will not improve. You're in a stagnant art form.
It doesn't mean it's stagnant.
But it's not going to improve.
It doesn't mean it's not going to improve. It just means
it can
that
only get worse.
I guess so.
Well,
I
mean, if you're saying things can't get better and you're saying they won't stay the same, there's only one option left, and that is things will get worse.
Well, things will change. But right. I don't think it's necessarily better than what came. What it's
to be fair,
replacing.
it is all subjective. I mean, you can do some math with Shakespeare and just go, well, technically, here are the innovations Shakespeare brought to the table, and you can all right, like just straight out innovations wise, Or you can also do that with movies of the 30s and just go, this is the first time this type of filmmaking was used. This is the first time the camera did this. The first time this happened.
Sure.
And you can like match that with things, you know, presently. But just like I think on the whole, that's where it kind of bums me out is the idea that. If things haven't improved in 80 years or 100 years, they're not going to improve in another 100 years or 200 years or 500 years. And, that's a drag.
I don't think, well, you could say that's a drag, but it's also kind of exciting that things that you create now would still have value in the future. That it's not just becomes completely outmoded and no one's interested in it anymore.
And I don't believe what I'm about to say right now. but you could make an argument, and I don't agree with this that I'm going to say, and I could argue my way out of it. But then it makes you feel like, well, why do anything? You know, like if you're a comic book person, you just go like, well, I'm not going to do anything better than Chrome did, so fuck it. You know, I'm never going to be better than Tintin, so why should I even put pen to paper? You've already got that.
Yeah.
That's fine. So there's no contribution I can make that will move my art form forward. So why would I want to get in? Why don't I do something? Why don't I get into science? Because at least science, you'd go like, well, that's definitely like an advancement.
Yeah.
Things have changed. You know, you go like medicines now are better than medicines then. You can clearly say there's something better.
Sure.
Well, why wouldn't you? So why would you get into the arts then if you feel that the arts, you know, will not be better? Your presence will not make it better because nothing has gotten better in 100 years.
Well, it doesn't. I don't think it has to be better.
The argument, of course, is you've got something unique and unique isn't necessarily better and unique is fine. And that's how I shut my own self down. But I could see someone thinking that.
You can shut yourself down for your entire argument against the idea of things having to be better. I mean, why can't things just be unique? Can't there be a film like Boyhood? Boyhood doesn't have to be necessarily better than The Lady Eve. It doesn't have to be better than that film.
Right.
But it's a unique take on
filmmaking. And the Academy Awards are bullshit when you have, like, Best Picture of the Year. Of course, it's not Best Picture of the Year. You know, it's a picture that people enjoyed and here's, you know, but it's not the best.
Yeah.
You know, you don't for the rest of time go like, well, clearly, though, we've got to rank these movies. And whenever you bring up that movie, let's just remember it's not as good as, you know, Lord of the Rings.
Particularly, Lord of the Rings. Great movie. I said that sarcastically in case people couldn't. I was using italics.
I think it is a great movie for the type of movie it is. You know, for that type of movie, it is probably the best of that type of movie that there is.
The best bloated extravaganza.
Sure.
With multiple endings.
And that's a big team, man. Yeah. Like Hollywood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But thinking of the reason we thought, I thought, you know, we kind of started it and we're continuing it, was I read this book about the Academy Awards, and it was basically a list of every Academy Award winner from the start of the Academy Awards right. to whenever the book was published. And I mean, the person had a critical view, and that, you know, and so it wasn't just like lists, it was his opinions of things as well.
Yeah. But he'd draw his eyes rolling next to someone.
That's right. So you had things like, and I can't remember the name of the film now, but there was this movie, let's call it Circus. It was a Cecil B. DeMille film about a circus from the 50s. Yep. It won Best Oscar that year. When you look at the other films that could have been considered or were up as, but because that film needed a promotional push, it won Best Picture for that year.
Well, the other thing you can do, if you, as someone who, I know awards. Here's the thing. and there's a thing called, and I've benefited from this before, mm-hmm. vote splitting.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
So, you know, you get a lot of good quality stuff. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, the majority of people don't vote for one thing. They vote for two things that are the best. But, you know, that splits that vote. And then the third one can come up the middle and win, even though,
sure.
you know, really, it shouldn't have. You know, well, but then who cares what should have anyway?
It doesn't really matter. I mean, from, you know, 50 years ago, you know, who cares?
Once again, I always say, like, you know, who won the Louvre Awards this year? Oh, the Mona Lisa again? Oh, that's good. Yay, good for them.
Good for it.
It really tried hard. Good for it. It's the best painting. It's clearly the best painting in the world because it's the only one behind bulletproof glass.
With 400 people standing in front of it, so you can't see
people
it.
People wouldn't want to try and kill it if it wasn't great.
It is great.
Whistler's Mother, no one wants to take a shot at it.
Bullshit. Whistler's Mother, what a piece of garbage. Just on that standard alone. Mm-hmm. In terms of art, it's fantastic.
Is Van Gogh's work, is it behind bulletproof glass?
I don't think so. You can see the sunflowers.
Piece of shit, then.
It's just garbage.
Yeah. If no one wants to shoot your art, then you're a bad artist.
You know what I call it?
What's that?
The shit flowers.
Good for you.
Yeah, that's what
it deserves. That's the thing. When you're talking about, like, has there been any better art than the mm-hmm. Mona Lisa? Well, let's see the bulletproof glass.
Yeah.
You know, what other painting do people want to assassinate?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a good point. I mean, go to Paris, and you can see the history of art develop before your eyes. You can go to the Louvre.
My wife just went to Paris.
She took my advice.
Okay.
Before I gave it, which is nice of her. To be so reactive, proactive, I guess would be the word. But if you go, you know, you go to the Louvre, you can see, you know, medieval art, Gothic art, you know, you can see the development up, and then you can go to Musée d'Orsay or the Tuileries, I believe it's called, where the water lilies are displayed. Mm-hmm. And Musée d'Orsay, of course, is your impressionists moving up into the modern era. So it's Klimt and other people there, and then you can go to the Pompidou Center, and then you can see the Dadaists and the Surrealists, and then all the way up to now, where it's just like a table with pots and pans piled underneath it.
Right.
You know, which my daughters found very disappointing, because when you're young, what you appreciate is representational art.
Yeah.
Because you're not interested in the ideas behind it. You're interested in their facility to draw, you know, someone look realistic.
Right.
And that's what's impressive to them.
Well, I think, like, what happens when you're a kid is you're struggling to understand. Mm-hmm. So, you know, what is this? Well, clearly tell me what it is.
Yeah.
And then if someone does a twist or a warp
or
alters it, mm-hmm. that's jarring to you and disturbing. It'd be like if your parents came in when you were a little kid and started talking in a different voice, like a really different voice, you'd just be like, knock it off. You don't want to see them doing a parody of being a parent.
Yeah.
Freaks you out. But then when you become a teenager, then you like, or like, you know, a little older, then you like the Mad magazine. Show me the twist.
Yeah.
Show me the different angle. Give me the wacky pack cards. I want to see this, but like this. And that's what I think leads you to that type of art.
Well, I mean, even Wacky Packs and Mad Magazine is drawn in a pretty representational way.
Right.
So it's not super challenging artistically.
To show you the satire, though, mm-hmm. to show the twist appropriately. Yeah.
And, you know, I can understand, for children and teenagers, there's a certain level of, they're not that sophisticated. And so their reaction to that art is unsophisticated, the same way that an unsophisticated adult reacts to that as, I could do that.
What?
You know, when they see, you know, a painting with string in it, with, you know, stuff taped to the string, their reaction isn't, oh, what an interesting idea, as a way to deconstruct the idea of the frame and what a painting is.
Yeah, I do think it's biological, though, because if your brain is wired to learn and absorb, mm-hmm. then distortions on the reality, I think I could see how that'd be a jarring thing for you, unless you're trying to absorb the concept of it.
Yeah.
You know, that would just be a make it like it is. Do the thing that as is. As a kid, that would really mess you up.
Yeah.
And as a teenager, you feel everything is dumb. So that's stupid. It's dumb. It's
lame. I never felt that way.
It's dumb. It's lame. Stupid.
I was an enthusiast even as a teenager.
I'm still an enthusiast. I was an enthusiast for some stuff.
Yeah.
I was just in my room doing my own stuff.
I just want to just go briefly back to the Academy Awards because I just want to say, because you're talking about
the red carpet, the glam.
You're talking about the vote splitting and but also at the time in the 40s, 50s, 30s, 40s, 50s, it was still the studio system in Hollywood. Mm-hmm. So you had block voting. Like, so the studios would vote for their own product.
Right.
And so you'd end up, the biggest studios would tend to get the most awards. So MGM had the most people working for it, the most actors, the most technicians and everyone. So it had this giant, powerful block to vote in favor, so you ended up with films that not necessarily deserving of winning, mm-hmm. getting nominated and getting voted.
And thank goodness that's all gone now. Now it's just the winningest films are the ones that deserve it.
I think it's a different kind of promotion now, isn't it?
Oh, man, it's a lot of things. And every so often people complain about this, that, and the other, and this shouldn't have this, and who gets this, and who got this.
Well, there tends to be like actors who perform with a some sort of physical defect. They're almost always a shoe-in. Actors who suffer in the film from whatever.
Right. If there's applause at the end of the film, that helps. If for some reason people are actually standing and clapping for the character, that's something that's in a lot of movies.
Yeah.
Where the actual people are like, and they clap and it's good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Or it's also good if they bring up words and they tell you what happened and afterwards to that person. You're like, why didn't you just show me this? You're a movie. Show me this business. Put on some old age makeup and show me what happened.
Do you like when movies do that when they advance
when they
by
Animal
40
House
years? I like Animal House when they, but I like, I don't mind that. I prefer film to end without explanation. I don't want to know the future.
To me, it's like, okay, here's the thing. Like I saw, and I'm not going to spoil it, but I saw The Imitation Game,
mm-hmm.
which I liked. It was fine. But they really, at the end, just try to do too much in the text.
Yeah. Yeah.
They sell it too much, too hard. And just like, okay, hey, calm it down. Calm down, buddy. I came to see your damn movie. By the way, you could have showed me this in the movie.
Yeah.
Settle down, end words. Stop it.
Do you feel, I'm going to spoil the film.
What?
A little bit. Do you feel
the
like.
Nazis lose. Thanks a lot.
Way to go. Do you feel like they went too far into I feel like the film should have just ended with the wartime stuff. It didn't need to go into the future or into our future.
Yeah, but how do you jerk a tear then, which is what you need to win an award?
I guess.
Got to pull that tear out.
Just felt like, but that stuff was just so perfunctory that it deserved its own, it deserved its own film.
No, I like the kind of,
There is one with Derek Jacobi, who, from My Claudius. Yeah. And he played Alan Turing in another different film that wasn't based in the war. It was based in his life as a frustrated homosexual trying to live in this repressive 50s England. And mm-hmm. and that's an interesting story too, that I felt like The Imitation Game, had an interesting story to tell, but it didn't tell that part of the story interestingly.
No, it was a main.
It was very, like I say, perfunctory.
It was a very mainstream story. It was, it hit everything really hard and it was fine. And again, it's fine.
It's okay.
Like it starts off with him, very Sherlock-y, saying things Sherlock would say.
Mm-hmm.
And like, oh, well, there you go, Sherlock fans. How do you like this? Good. And then, the stuff about him being gay, they don't really show anything. They just tell you about it. And then you go like, oh, shame on everyone who's, against this. Oh, what a terrible thing. And then you pull the heartstrings at the end, give you a semi-sad ending after you've had the hooray ending. And then we really hit it with all the words and just like, how about this for impact, motherfuckers? How about this? Aren't you grateful? Yeah. Oh, wow. That's really interesting. And give us your award. And it's going to get the awards because mm-hmm. it hits all the bases and it knows what it's doing. But you're right. It's not the greatest way to do a film. Show the things, maybe.
Show the things.
Show the stuff. And if you're not going to show the personal life in the middle, then don't show the personal life at the end. Though I do like seeing sometimes, as a story about a war hero and then what happens to the war hero after the war is over.
Yeah.
The thing that you are only works during tragic times.
Yeah.
Those times, we need this. But then afterwards, well, the hell with you, says society. And that's fair comment. But it was like, okay. Yeah, you're doing a movie.
I'm not going to make this criticism about The Imitation Game because it would be outside of its purview.
Not enough lasers.
Not enough Pink Floyd with lasers.
Could have used talking raccoon.
Could have used... that's right.
You can do it!
But you'd kind of wish that like a film about a gay man mm-hmm. would show them being gay. Do you know what I mean? Like them like having a relationship with another man. And what that is.
Now there's
it's very mysterious to all of us, isn't it?
He doesn't have a relationship with a...
No, I'm not talking about... That's what I say. I'm not talking about that film.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, if people are making films about gay people, mm-hmm. I just wish that they would be gay in the film. Like, it always feels like everything about them is talked about except for their sexuality and what they do that is gay.
Okay, but the problem with that is that sexuality on the whole in films is bullshit. You know, it's fake. Well, when you see romantic films, the way people act in a stock romantic film, they're terrible to each other. They lie to each other, and it's usually a misunderstanding. Then the sex scenes aren't realistic at all.
People should be honest.
All right, fair enough. But the sex scenes are weird, and they're just artificial. And then the woman always has the blanket up to her breasts, and you know, and everything.
Except in Game of Thrones. Well, no blankets in Game of Thrones.
Well, no, yeah, there you go. I mean, but everything then is cuckoo bananas in there. But I'm saying your standard romantic comedy has certain rules it goes by, and then there's again another misunderstanding, and then there's a grand gesture, and then you know there's a resolution of like I'm going to forgive you, and we meet at whatever this place is, blah blah blah, and there you are. Now the problem is if you do that, if you do the gay version of that, then all those flaws come screaming out at you and just going, well, this doesn't happen at all. Because since there's no representation of that in film anyway, you can't pull the same bullshit tricks. And so it's like, well, what do we do? Then you got to make it really realistic. And if you make it really realistic, then you lose what a romantic comedy is.
But
it
doesn't have to be a romantic comedy. What about a movie, what about Die Hard, where he's fighting and his boyfriend is the one who's trapped with other people in a...
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, what about that, where that relationship is at stake?
Yeah.
That would be interesting.
Okay. You can go... Okay, here's the problem with that.
Okay.
So let's do that. Let's substitute the wife for a boyfriend or a husband if you're in Canada. Okay. So first film, those two guys are having problems. Why? Because he wants to work over here, and he wants to work over here.
Yeah.
Why don't they talk it out?
Yeah.
Okay, that's too bad. You know. And at the end, they get together and they kiss, and you're like, oh, that's good. I think things are going to work out. Next movie.
Well, we don't need the next movie.
I'm going to tell you. Yeah. Here's the problem. The next movie, well, they're having some problems.
Yeah.
Oh, that's too bad. Next movie, they're divorced. Yeah. Oh, well, fuck you, says that.
Everyone.
That you had, like, this couple who we were all rooting for.
Yeah.
And there you go. Now you're screwed.
But you're screwed either way, whether it's a heterosexual couple or a homosexual couple. I mean, what you're saying is that movies can't handle relationships.
What happens, though, is, though, when you have a gay relationship in the film, then all of a sudden all the flaws come under a greater spotlight. Because when you do a film, because there's only going to be one or two films with a gay couple that year, so those come out, the high beams come on, and you see every crack, right? And you're like, oh, look at these flaws, you know. And that's
That would happen for a while, and then it would normalize, wouldn't it?
It would eventually, but I think that's going to happen on TV before it happens in film.
I guess that's true.
You know, I mean, you've got gay characters, as you mentioned, Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
And the reason you can do that is because everyone's weird and having sex and doing this. So
when cable.
When you've had, like, you know, the dwarf having sex with the prostitute, and then the brother and sister are fucking, it's very difficult to then go, what's with these two gay guys? I got issues with this. I'm like, no, you don't. No, you don't, buddy. We've had everything under the sun here, so you shut up. Now we can focus on this couple and just treat them like everyone else who's here, and that's how you can pull it off.
Well, they do tend to try to sneak it in. I guess it's a part of Teen Wolf having gay relationships. So I guess that's how they'll have to subversively sneak it into the culture.
It'll all come in. It'll be fine. Yeah. It's gonna. I mean, again, it should sooner than later. And if here in Canada we had two nickels to rub together and had a couple of TV series, you'd have to have that in there because it's a part of our culture, so it'd be ridiculous not to.
Yeah.
But, you know, we don't have that, and so we don't, and so we won't, and so we haven't for a while. We'll see. Let's hope. That's what yeah. I hope. But yeah, it's a real tough thing though with action movies, because with action movies, traditionally you put the woman in the victim role.
Yeah.
And that's a tough thing to do, because if you then because you see the flaws in the structure. Like, well, why is that guy getting beat up and tortured and over here by the bad guy? This is horrible that this would happen. Well, it's horrible when it happens to the woman too, but you're just used to it, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
I don't think that shows the flaws. I mean, that would actually highlight I don't know if it would highlight.
Well, there's problems with the tropes, with the tropes to all of this.
There are, yeah, you're right. But maybe that's a good thing, because it makes people have to rethink the tropes that they're just falling back on without...
Yeah, you got a horror movie, and you got like two couples, and one is straight, one is gay. Now, who's going to get killed? If the gay couple gets killed, now we're
going to... Liberal guilt starts...
Well, it's just like we don't get this often, no. So it feels like that, it's like... When you have a handicapped character in a horror movie, it's like you can't kill them first. But let me say, they're gonna die.
Yeah.
They're not making it to the end.
No.
Guy in a wheelchair is gonna get killed.
I know what movie you're
thinking of. By the chainsaw. Well, no, it's every movie. Any movie that you have a person with that's handicapped in some way, and they're gonna fight back, damn it. And then you'll think everything's fine, and then tragedy. It's tragic. It's tragic. But they were brave, so it's okay. So it's fine, and there you go, and noble and blah 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 blah. And they're played by a person who wasn't in a wheelchair, so fuck off. Boo.
That's already
like there's not enough handicapped actors that could actually do that part.
I guess so. I'm not gonna boo it, but
you don't have to. I've already booed it. It's been pre-booed. Don't you worry.
It's been booed. I did. I'm gonna switch gears.
Switch
here.
It up.
Actually, I'm gonna switch gears twice. First, I'm gonna talk about. I'm gonna talk about.
This is a three-speed show.
This is a three-speed show and reverse as well, as you know.
All right.
We do backtrack. You saw my title card from last week.
Yeah, very nice.
I did an L. Hirschfeld.
Really beautiful. Now, did you put the names in?
What names?
The Nina.
Yes.
Okay, I didn't look carefully enough.
I did do that. Although the drawing that I was copying, which was a Fred Allen book with Fred Allen on the cover, it predated the Nina.
Oh.
So it didn't have Ninas in it, but I did put them in because, that's part of the thing. But it was interesting and really hard to do that. I thought it would take me like a couple hours. Mm-hmm. That's the time I procrastinated too. I said, I've got all day to waste, and then tonight, and I'll sit down around 10 o'clock, whip this out. So I didn't sleep at all.
So that's what Dave does at night.
I whipped it out. And so I didn't sleep at all.
After you whip it out, yeah.
Well, who can? You're kind of excited. The adrenaline's rushing. And then, I just didn't go to sleep. I didn't go to sleep all that night. And then I stayed up all day and watched the Super Bowl and cried. But because it was way harder than I thought it was going to be. And now,
Do you admire Hirschfeld more?
Yeah, I do, actually. A lot. What was interesting, though, is I watched, there's a film called The Lion King, L-I-N-E, get it, everybody? The Lion King.
All right.
And it's about L. Hirschfeld. It's a documentary about him. And it had a scene of him drawing a picture of Paul Newman. And it shows, like the whole thing. Like, I mean, obviously, it took him 8 hours, so it's not, it's compressed time. But it shows him, like, starting with the penciling, and it shows how he pencils it, and, how he kind of works. And then him inking, and he inks with a pen, which I knew that. Like, I could figure that looking at his drawings. But I've always thought for all my life that when you use a pen, you do big strokes. Like, you do, like, big, nice, smooth strokes with your pen. No, he's like, scritch, 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 scritch.
Oh, wow.
All these little scritch, scritch,
I wouldn't
scritch.
Expect that.
No, I know. But they look smooth when he's done, like, all the scritching. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if he, like, scritches and he thickens the lines as he scritches, because they weren't that close.
You sound like you're doing a Dr. Seuss book.
Yes.
He thickens as he scritches.
Because the camera wasn't, like, ideally, the camera should be, like, right over top of his drawing and showing how his lines go down. But it wasn't. But I could see, like, he's just scritching away. And it was fascinating. And then the hard part, though, well, one thing is I don't like doing caricatures of people. Mm-hmm. Like, I do not. Yeah. I don't think I'm a very good artist.
It's no win.
I don't think I'm a good enough artist to do it. And I don't have like that kind of mean or indifference to people's feelings that I can draw them in an ugly way and just
hey, big nose,
laugh it off. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so that's hard for me. So, so I had to like look at Hirschfeld drawings. Like, I just looked at tons of his drawings. Like, I have a book. I have a couple of books. So I was just like leafing through them, looking at drawings. And then I was looking at the people's faces in Google, and I was looking at them, going, "Okay, what is he doing? Like, how is he making them exaggerated, but sparsely drawn.
Yeah.
But recognizable right away.
Absolutely.
Because he keys in on things like Bette Davis, you know, big forehead, huge eyes. Like, as soon as you see that, you go, oh, that's Bette Davis. I know who that is. You know, or Katharine Hepburn. You know, this skinny, but with this big, once again, a big forehead and the very small eyes and kind of a narrowed face. This absolutely just nails her right off with just a few strokes, you know, a scritchy strokes, but he nails it. And so I was, you know, and so I was looking and I was looking, and I was like, how can I take us and make them into a Hirschfeld? It was really difficult. So, you know, I got out a piece of scrap paper and I decided I drew us. I got some pictures of you and I off of the, off Facebook. Yeah. And then I just sat there and I was like, okay, you know, Ian's like this, you know, you have eyes that you kind of, they kind of droop down. Yeah. And so I kind of tried to get that. And, you know, and I, this all the things myself, you know, I have kind of, I have sort of jowls. If I allowed myself to get heavy, my face would get jowly. So I tried to exaggerate that and just all these kind of things, right? And, but it's so hard. It's so difficult. Yeah. And I found myself since this, I'm looking at people on television. I'm like, how would Hirschfeld draw this person? And I'm like picking out characteristics that I would highlight if I was doing it. It was really interesting. It was a real experiment.
Though a lot of, I mean, that's hard. I will give you that. Mm-hmm. But especially back in the days where he was doing it for the most part, it's...
No Google.
Well, there's no Google.
Yes.
But more distinct looking actors, I would say. Stronger faces, yeah. More cut mm-hmm. faces than now. There's yeah. more generic... faces.
No, you're right. You're right.
You know, you get like someone like, I think if you were doing a caricature of, say, a Christopher Walken, you would not have as hard a time.
No.
There's a lot to
big
play.
Eyes.
There's yeah. a lot to play with there. You can go to
kind
town.
Of, yeah, kind of googly eyes.
But if
eyes
you were doing like a Tatum, what are the, what's his
Channing Tatum.
Channing Tatum.
Channing Potatum.
Yeah, I mean, you might do muscles and whatever, but like it's kind of a plain face. His what do you do
face,
with that?
Well, no, you could, I think he would be pretty easy to do actually, because you would, oops, I smashed my microphone over. You would accent his forehead.
Yeah, you could do a bit
make
of that.
His eyes smaller and close together, because he has kind of beady eyes. Mm-hmm. You know, kind of squat. You know, give him kind of a Neanderthalish kind of look. He has that kind of very sort of rock face. You know.
Yeah.
And I can see him. In fact, I think when you say that, I think maybe like someone like Bradley Cooper is pretty normally, but still, he's got this nose that you could really highlight.
Yes, I guess I feel
almost
like
every one of them, you can highlight something about them that would make them recognizable.
I look at like the old Warner Brothers where they used to do all the caricature, mm-hmm. you know, here's a yeah. party with all the stars.
Sure.
And there was something like really distinct about every one of them that you could
yeah.
grab onto.
Clark Gable, his big ears.
Right,
his
but also not just the physical. Mm-hmm. There'd be like something they say
yeah.
that you would just be like, oh. Yeah, that's him. That's
yeah.
his thing.
Yeah.
And they, like later on when Animaniacs tried to do the same thing, mm-hmm. it was a bit of a rough road. You know, it's not, it's so, you well, know, they yeah. just have to do a direct line from a movie or something.
Yeah.
Bette Midler would have to come out and just go, you want to go to the beaches? Let's go to the beaches. You know, it's just like, all right, fine.
Yeah, because I guess that's...
Or the very dirty fingerprints joke.
Well, I guess that speaks to the fact that movies aren't better now than they were in the 30s. At this.
We've gone full circle. Da, 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 da. That's why they call Yay. Us the full circle jerks. That's us. Let's whip it out, everybody, with the full circle jerks.
Is that the wrong way to say you're going to finish a drawing quickly?
Well, if you're saying, like, tell your wife you're going to go to your workshop out back and whip it out,
mm-hmm.
and I'm not going to be back for 8 hours.
She's just sleeping. She doesn't care.
Yeah, you tell her you'll be sleeping afterwards, too. It's fine.
In fact, sometimes it gets to a point that if I'm really up late, like if I'm up till, say, 5 in the morning,
mm-hmm.
I actually won't go inside the house. I'll just stay out in the... Even if I'm finished, I'll stay out in the studio.
Just sleep in the doghouse?
I'll just watch computer movies because I don't want to...
Oh, just like...
I don't want to wake her up.
Like Electric Dreams, things like that, what? War games, other computer
More
movies.
More like porno. Really? Let's be honest.
Did you get where I was going? There was movies about computers?
Oh, okay.
Okay. But anyways, you can go right to porno. That's fine.
I just go right to the obvious.
Yeah. Subtlety be damned.
Damn it all. That's why they call me the hammer.
Tomorrow we're doing our James Bond thing. I don't have to plug it because by the time you listen to this,
sure.
it will be done and I will be, by the time you listen to this, I will be dead.
That was another breakneck segue.
I will have exhausted myself to death.
Yes.
But one of the things we're doing in it is we're making sure that we don't swear.
Okay.
Because Mr. Fleming did not, that was one thing he was like,
he was not a swear bear?
He would not cuss.
Yeah.
He would not cuss in his books.
Mm-hmm.
So we got to make sure of that. So that's one of the many things we're doing. I just came from...
Is that hard in improv to not swear? Because that's a
it
really...
It depends what type of stuff you're doing. If you're doing like with a situation like an Ian McKellen, James Bondy type thing where it's lots of sex and violence, and you're trying to play it realistically, then you would a swear would not be inappropriate.
Yeah.
You know, where you're drinking and you're flirting, you gotta like watch. You gotta just play the double entendre.
You said Ian McKellen. Did you mean Ian Fleming?
Ian Fleming. Okay, so sorry. I am going to try to not make that mistake tomorrow. Dave, I'm incredibly tired. I've been up very late doing this show.
Yeah.
For so long, it's ridiculous. And we just came back from shooting an opening title sequence with green screen and such, and all day long it's been buying props, and yesterday getting all these props together for everything. Yeah, I mean, this is what I do. I put together a show,
yeah,
and then I don't think about how hard it is, and then I have to do it.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, that's what's happening. So it's very, very hard, and we're going to do it tomorrow. And yeah.
I'm excited. I'll be there.
I will. In the audience. I will probably be there, too.
You will recognize my familiar boo.
Sure. Well, we're doing a thing right now. Like, one of the things I wanted to do was incorporate the Nintendo 64.
Take a drink, everybody.
Sure. There goes the ambulance. You know what? I might just get on that one.
You need to rest.
I think I might. I think I might.
Just lay down on the stretcher?
I'm Canadian. Why it's not? Free. Sure. Why not? I'll be right back.
It's not free.
What, for an ambulance?
Yeah, it's not.
How much is an ambulance?
It's like $100.
That's fine. Sounds good. I'll be right back.
You'll pay for that.
Yeah, $100.
Just get driven around.
Yeah.
Why not?
How long a ride do you get?
I don't know. To the hospital, so it's not that.
Yeah, but they give you.
We're only like a couple blocks away from it.
Can they give you some drugs on the way? A little relaxy juice.
Could be.
Nice.
Yes, relaxy juice. That's what they give you.
Sure. Sounds nice. Get on that board. That nice stiff board.
Sure.
Put your head up. Good. Talk about your favorite emergency episodes.
Oh, they probably would know, though.
Probably would. So here's the thing. What was I talking about? I was talking
James,
about...
James Bond.
James Bond. So one of the things we wanted to put in there was having people play the Nintendo 64 game GoldenEye.
Yes.
And you think like, oh, you can do that, right? Oh, boy. It's just been a nightmare just figuring out how to... They got HDMI cables, so I got to like find a way of plugging an old-timey Nintendo to... And so you think like there'd be conversion systems. Well, there are, but go to every electronic place in town, and they almost have it. And I've just been like everywhere. Ridiculous. Huh. And my problem with doing that is every one of these trips costs me like a lot of time that I do not have that I could be spending on other things. But I'm like set in my ways that I want to do this kind of thing. So tomorrow we found a backdoor way of doing it that hopefully will work. And probably no one will give two damns about. This is the thing. Like all these things that, you know, that I'm spending the most amount of time on, three people in the audience will get and go, ah, you know, that's it. And the stuff that people will generally like, you know, are nothing. It's fine.
Yeah.
It's you could just, and that's the big trick is like, I know that we could just go out there and do it a straight improv show and it would be fine and everyone would be entertained.
Yeah.
But no, we want to do all the innovative shit. So I've got a green screen I'm working, and I got to sing a song and my throat's all on fire. So yeah, we'll see how it goes. We'll see.
I'm looking forward to it. And
I am too. I'm looking forward to it. And I'm looking forward to being over. And I'm looking forward to Friday, the day afterwards, where I don't have that to think about. And I can get the song Goldfinger out of my head. Because it's been in my head solid for a week.
Not so good.
No.
And it may be a one and only thing that you're going to be doing. Because Canada is caving into the United States in its demands that everyone on Earth have copyrights last for 200 years so the Disney Corporation can continue to hold its stranglehold on Mickey Mouse and Donald Duck and all those money-making characters.
Yeah.
Every couple years, the Mickey Mouse law continues, is extended. So now we see it's the chilling effect on Canada as well as we're negotiating a new...
Which means we'll probably just end up doing Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah.
That is public domain
right
now. So there you go.
For now.
We're going to enjoy
it. Until they stretch it back. Until they retroactively.
Yeah, you know what, though? Here's the thing. The other thing about that is there is a certain thing like parody. There's some parody laws.
Yeah.
It's much stronger in the States than it is here. But we've got fair comment laws. We got a lot of other things.
Yeah.
But the rule basically is this. If you have a character who's doing exactly what he would do, then that's you can't do that. But if you have them a comment on what they would do or some twist on it, then you can do it. And there you are.
I just ignore all the cease and desist letters that I receive.
Now, here's my question. Mm-hmm. When we're talking, you know, we talk about legalities and ethical things.
Sure.
Do you think if the law, like in this case, if there was a way of using the James Bond thing, now, do you think like someone is bad to use James Bond if, say, the copyright then goes back into effect, snaps back, and a person wants to use the James Bond thing? Is that ethically wrong and they should be giving money to the James Bond folks? because they've now rescinded that thing and the copyright is back. Do you think there's any ethical problem with that?
I actually have no problem with people using those characters anyway. Like, I think
why they own them, that's stealing. So why is that wrong? Why is that right? Sorry.
I guess they own them, but they own their version of it. I think other people's takes on it are equally valid. I don't see why if Billy Wilder wants to make his version of Sherlock Holmes with the one I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Which is a good film, but it has nothing to do with the actual Sherlock Holmes stories. It's his own take on it, you know. To me, that's valid.
Was that the Adventures of Sherlock Holmes' Smarter Brother? Am I thinking of a different one?
Something else,
Sherlock Holmes. It was a Gene Wilder thing, though, wasn't it?
That was Gene Wilder.
Yeah.
The other one is, it's an actual mystery, and...
I think I've seen it. I think I've seen the one you're talking about.
It involves a certain mythical monster.
Yes, I have seen that.
Okay.
Now, here's my question to you. Since you've got a problem with, stealing actual content...
Yeah.
Okay,
but you
have no problem with stealing someone's intellectual property. Then
are you stealing it though?
Oh well, we're
like if you're doing a parody of it, is that theft? Really?
Yeah, there you go. Well, you are. You're making money off of something they created. You know, so like if you do your Star Wars, you're not giving George Lucas any. Well, George Lucas doesn't own it anymore. But back in the day, if you did your Star Wars, he created all these characters.
Yeah.
Why shouldn't he get money when you're doing? Why shouldn't he have say with his characters as to whether or not you do your parodies?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I feel like with Star Wars, you actually make a good point, and that it changes my mind a little bit. And I think with James Bond or with Sherlock Holmes, I feel like, you know, that they have gone past. Like, I feel like the copyright laws should not be altered. And I think if they do alter
Oh, you're saying because copyright laws are unfair.
Yeah.
Then they, okay, I would agree with you for the most part.
I just think, you know, I think they're fair as they're written. I think that the creator of the work and his, you know, and his family should be able to benefit from his creation and be able to make, you know, money on that intellectual
now,
property.
Now, go ahead.
I was just going to say, but then you reach a point where it becomes moribund and the character should then be allowed to go out into the real world, you know, out into the creative world and be allowed to be used in any way someone sees fit, you know, and I think that's the same with...
Do you believe that's the same thing with films or songs?
Yeah,
well?
Yeah.
So at some point, songs should be public domain.
Yeah.
Right?
Of course.
And the family should not receive royalties for those songs.
After a point.
They should cease to receive royalties. Yeah. Okay.
I think that's fair. Because, the composer is long dead.
Right.
I mean, you know, I don't believe in an aristocracy. So I don't see why someone, you know, has the sort of birthright to continue to... make money off of what their parents created.
Hearing your things like because you know I mean your thing in the past has been like theft is theft and there's that's what it is, you know, very Steve Ditko, black is black,
well,
white is white,
but I mean theft...
and so when you go like using someone's you know, character they created, is that theft?
Well,
technically yes, but you
it would be theft to me
it.
Still, even if it's out of copyright, it would be theft to me if someone published Moonraker with their name on it. You know what I mean? That's his plagiarism. That's still theft. I don't care if it's out of copyright. You're stealing someone's story and presenting it yourself.
Okay, but if someone publishes their own version of Moonraker, but you credit the right person, but you make the money off of it and the estate makes nothing, that's okay?
Well, that's done with Dickens and Trollope and Jane Austen and Tolstoy and whoever you want to talk about.
Right.
All those authors that are published by Penguin Classics and by Modern Library and all these other publishing companies, they're all making money off of authors that whose relatives no longer receive royalties for those works. I mean, the thing about it is that at a certain point, those characters, whether it's Sherlock Holmes or whatever, the books are no longer selling to the degree that they did at one time. Mm-hmm. Like even now,
but the characters have grown into their own things.
The characters have become one thing, but I mean, more people are familiar with Sherlock Holmes from, you know, the movies or the television show than they are from the books. Like, I would say more people have seen Jeremy Brett as Sherlock Holmes or Robert Downey Jr. as Sherlock Holmes than have read Sherlock Holmes.
Right.
True?
But it's called, yeah, but it all comes from that. Like, it's
I know
the
it
same
all comes
thing.
From that. I know it all comes
you know,
from
it's
that.
It's like, well, you're talking like, you know, in Jane Austen, more people, you know, have know
cool,
the movies.
For sure, yeah, of course.
Than
yeah.
that. Yeah.
I read the book. And I mean, the book is not making a ton of money for these people who are publishing it. you know, it's just nice that they're doing it, that it's still out there for people to have access to.
I wonder. I wonder how they sell.
But I think they do okay. And I, but bet, I don't think
I
they
bet,
do great.
I bet Sherlock Holmes books sell okay.
I'm sure they all do okay, but I mean, they're not like on the top of the bestseller lists or mm-hmm. anything like that. They're you know, just chugging along, making good money because they don't owe an artist anything for them as well. They just put them out there.
Yeah.
You know? And sometimes they'll present them in an interesting way. Like Penguin, was it a couple of years ago, got comic book artists to do covers for classic books like Brave New World and 1984 and stuff like that. So you had a cartoonist's interesting take on the covers. So that's an interesting way to repackage it, you know. And
so what do you think of the Disney thing?
That they keep stretching it out?
Yeah.
Bullshit.
Okay, but if they lose the rights to Mickey Mouse, doesn't that bring the whole house of cards falling down?
Not really.
So what happens to Disney if they lose Mickey Mouse, Donald Duck?
They don't lose them. They still have them.
They still have them, but they don't. But anyone can do them. You could then open Mickey World next door to Disney World, and you have a separate Mickey Mouse.
I don't think you would, though. Let's
but
be honest.
You could.
You could.
I mean, there's nothing.
If you
stopping,
could afford,
no, there's not.
The,
all right, how about
the
this?
Money it would cost
there's
to
nothing
buy property,
stopping
right?
you then yeah. from doing a Mickey Mouse movie. For an animator doing an Air Pirate style yeah. thing and doing a Mickey Mouse
well, that's,
movie.
That's fine, isn't it?
Doesn't that
they're not doing Mickey Mouse movies. And the Mickey Mouse movies they're doing are Mickey Mouse.
Wait a minute. So I'm trying to remember the last one that Mickey Mouse was in.
There's a horrible computer animated kids show that has Mickey Mouse in it. But it's terrible. And it's animated in that smooth, weird style. Yeah. It's awful.
There's a lot of terrible things.
Awful, awful. It's just garbage. So if they're just going to pump it out as garbage... And someone wants to do it in an interesting Air Pirates way, more power to you, buddy. Take it and run. Run with it. Hmm. Have some fun. Why not?
Okay.
Why not? Those characters are just...
You're a man of interesting levels and changes.
Why?
You're a man of many switches. You're a man of many... Because, again, not too long ago,
yeah,
theft is theft. Ownership is ownership.
I still think that.
Okay, but they clearly own Mickey Mouse... Now, but legally, they own Mickey Mouse, but you're going because it's bullshit that they keep extending.
Yeah, they shouldn't be able to.
Then they shouldn't be able to. So, you know, you wish it would be the other thing. But,
yeah.
You know, it's still their own. Oh, so, okay, here's the thing. So if someone is doing it right now, do you support them in doing that right now, even though they don't own it? Would you support that? Would you go, if someone handed you a Mickey Mouse comic that they made themselves, would you go, sir, I support Walt Disney, and I shame on you,
well,
sir. Or do you just go, not for me, thanks. Or do you go, good for you. Good for you. Those guys have been really doing...
Let me ask you a question. If someone presented you with a Simpsons comic...
Yeah, they have.
That they made
they
themselves.
Have. They have. That's happened many times.
Would you be upset?
Why would I be upset?
I know, but because I mean, we're talking about different
but then
levels.
I don't believe
right?
that I'm not theft is theft like
yeah,
you
yeah.
either. I'm fine with
but
creative
I,
sharing.
See,
I'm fine with
that feels different to me. Like someone at home creating their own little fan version of The Simpsons
which
of Mickey Mouse
a lot,
or whatever.
Yeah.
That me, that's great. Like I don't have any problem with that.
You don't think that's theft is theft?
No, I don't actually. Because
what
because,
if they sell it?
Well, they make a few bucks.
Oh, what? So you're okay with them selling it?
Yeah.
So okay with profiting off of the theft?
Well, yeah.
Again, this is the thing.
But the thing is,
you have a problem with someone like illegally
yeah.
downloading an episode and/or comic of The Simpsons. You have a problem
yeah.
with that.
Yeah.
That is wrong. That
yeah.
takes money out of the whatever's pockets.
Yeah.
Boo on them.
Yeah.
But if you make your own
yeah.
Simpsons,
yeah.
if you make your own,
yeah.
And you sell that,
yeah.
and the people who created it don't make anything,
mm-hmm.
you're fine with that.
Yeah.
That's not theft, even though it's theft.
I know.
So theft isn't theft.
In that case.
Okay.
I know it's okay. I'm a man of many. I'm a big person. I can. What is it? Was it Emerson who said that?
I don't know. Why don't you rip him off? Why don't you rip off what he says? Why don't you say
quoting,
Dave said it? You've got
no
problem.
I'm attributing it to him.
Yeah, if you want to do it that way.
He's. What did he say? I said, do I contradict myself? I'm a big person. I contain many multitudes.
Yep.
But I feel like.
Absolutes
I would,
are always wrong.
I would have a problem with Marvel Comics producing their own version of The Simpsons without. Licensing it.
Okay, here's,
but I'd have no problem with,
all right.
with Joe Schmo
okay, wait a minute.
In his basement.
Here's the thing. Marvel Comics has done that, though, with DC Comics. Like,
yeah.
They published a thing called Squadron Supreme, which was basically exact all the DC characters.
Yeah.
They just had fun with it and went like, here's all the DC characters, but we're going to do our own thing and do our own stories with these DC characters. And they did
yeah.
that. So
yeah.
you got a problem with that? It's kind of a little bit parody-ish, but it's definitely
feel,
all the DC characters.
I feel like it's parody, though.
You think it's parody?
Like, I think it's wrong.
It may have started as parody,
yeah.
but it's really gone to where they're their own characters now, and they've been in many, many issues in many, many forms,
yeah.
lots and lots of times. Like they do
but they're
that
not
a lot.
Named Superman, right? They're not named.
But they are. Like, the thing is, like, the character, Nighthawk is Batman. You know, the Archer character is there, who's dating someone who's a bird-themed woman. And there's a person who's, like, the king of the sea.
But I feel like that's, like, having a problem with Captain Marvel, you know, and supporting...
Okay, Captain Marvel is one character. If you had, like... If you had, like, the entire Marvel family, like, this is the thing.
But it's at,
like,
the time when Captain Marvel came out, there wasn't a huge DC universe.
No, I understand that.
You know, so
this is definitely
taking...
a group of and you're breaking down every one of them, taking all the same powers. You're making all
characters,
and now you're making money off all these characters. You got
That's
no problem with that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because someone did also. It's called 1963. The Alan Moore and Steve Veitch comics.
Yep.
That's taking all these characters and you know, just slightly twisting the characters. And Watchmen's the same thing again.
Yeah.
He wanted to use existing characters, but DC said, no, we don't want you killing licensed characters. So he said, okay, well, I'll just make a slight dimensional shift and turn them into this. But they're all based on actual characters.
And now what they've done is a thing called Pax Americana, I think it's called, where Grant Morrison has now taken the Charlton characters and made them all very Watchmen-y.
Yeah.
And basically lifted a lot of stuff from Alan Moore's thing. Mm-hmm. Is that okay by you?
Well, I don't think it's immoral. I do think it's aesthetically distasteful.
All right.
You know? Like, I mean, I don't think that the before Watchmen was immoral or terrible, but it was aesthetically, you know, or kind of yucky. Yeah, it's not. I shouldn't say ethically kind
of
yucky.
I don't want to say which one it was, but there was one of the that was one of the better reviewed ones. Like of all, you know, it's like there's the and then there's this was okay. All right.
Yeah.
And one of the reviews on it says something. It's like something positive, and just like it's not just a cash grab. I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
You know, to say that, that's... like, in your, this is your positive review.
Yeah.
Is going like, listen, we all know this is a fucking cash grab, right?
Yeah.
You wouldn't see that on a movie poster. You wouldn't see just like, this film is more than just a cash grab taken for, you know?
Yeah. This Oscar nominated film is more than just a cash grab.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I feel like with creation like that, that it's, you know, that, I mean, it's a gray thing. Like, you can't just be absolute about it. But I feel like if you take a character, if you take Sherlock Holmes and make him into, you know, Herlock Sholmes and, you know, have your own fun with it, you know, you're creating your own thing. You are taking existing characters, but you're making them your own thing. And that's interesting. You know, I don't see any problem with
the show Elementary?
Yeah. Besides having to watch it. I'm not okay with that.
You're okay with him using the term elementary, though that was never in any of the books?
Yes.
And that's like a famous
elementary,
misquote.
My dear. Oh, yes.
It's sort of like calling a Star Trek series Beam Me Up.
Well, the show is Scotty. The show is based in the States,
mm-hmm.
and a couple of the Basil Rathbone, Nigel Bruce Sherlock Holmes were based in the States, and also took place during World War II. So,
and they used Elementary.
They used Elementary, my dear Watson.
That's
so
right, yeah.
It's fine for that show to use it.
Well,
what it's based in.
This
it's based
is,
in
you
the...
know what? That is actually kind of the way I look at it. It's like when people go like, you know, what's better, the show Sherlock or Elementary? And I go, well, here's why you can't compare the two.
Yeah.
Is that, as you say, the Elementary one, that's based on the movies.
Yeah.
And the Sherlock is based on the books.
Very much so.
So that's why they're very different characters, even though they're both modern characters.
Yeah, you actually will appreciate the TV show Sherlock way more if you've read the books, because you'll pick up so many mirrors.
And they have fun with it.
They slightly twist the concept. I mean, not just the titles, which they often do, obviously, but even within the stories themselves, there'll be little things that they'll either, you know, totally lift or mirror in some way that twists that part of the book.
It feels like with the Sherlock, with the Elementary show, mm-hmm. it could be plots from an episode of Monk, frankly.
Yeah.
You know, that you're just like now plastering this character on top
mm-hmm.
of.
Mm-hmm.
So we, you know, whatever the B plot is like, you know, Sherlock has to look after a drug addict, or Sherlock gets a dog, or Sherlock falls in love with a bee. You know, it's like, whatever. That would be a good bee plot.
I was gonna make a bee joke too, but you beat me to it.
Because it's a bee plot.
Yeah.
So that's what you want. They actually did have one of those one episode, and I was just like, is this bee plot? The actual bee plot? Like, all right, good for you.
They must have been having fun with it.
Mm-hmm.
Be like a show actually having the characters trapped inside a bottle. Well, I guess they did that. That's where the term bottle episode comes from.
Yeah, what was that?
I Dream of Genie. Yeah.
I always wanted to be in that bottle. That looked real comfortable.
I just wanted to be with a certain person in the bottle.
Oh, Major Healy?
Yes.
Commander Bellows, or whatever that guy's name was?
That he's a good character actor, that guy. Very good.
Yeah.
That's something you don't see anymore as much, do you? Character actors. Because the problem nowadays is if someone is a really good character actor, they get promoted beyond their capability.
Though, you know, you had on Saturday Night Live this week was J.K. Simmons.
Yes, very good character
actor. It was the 15th time a yellow M&M has hosted Saturday Night Live.
15th time?
Yeah, because 14 times John Goodman did, and he was also the yellow M&M.
Okay.
So that makes 15 yellow M&M appearances. But there's a guy who really is a character actor.
So is John Goodman.
Yeah. So, but especially, I'm going to go, yeah. But like J.K. Simmons, it was just good in every sketch. Yeah. Like he was just like Money in the Bank. Because mm-hmm. like he's a character actor.
He's
so he can do
actor,
this stuff.
Yeah, he can do
he's
it.
Really good
he's
at this
He's a theater
stuff.
Actor.
Yeah.
He's someone who came out of theater.
Focuses hard, like right in. Yeah. Everything he does, it's fine. Not everything is hilarious, but everything is like solid.
Yeah.
You know, there's no messing around.
Well, the first time I saw him was on Law and Order. He played the psychologist after the lady left the show.
Yeah. And then
to do Cracker.
And he was doing that at the same time as Oz.
Oh, I didn't see Oz.
Oh, yeah, he was a Nazi.
It's a prison show, and I.
Yeah, he was a racist.
I make a fae reaction.
But
I flap my hand at
there
it
you
in
go.
A fae
but,
way.
But like
prison.
He was one of the biggest. I didn't watch it a lot, but he was a huge badass in there, like huge badass. And so he'd be doing.
I can
that.
See that.
And then at the same time, you know, he'd be doing the. Well, tell me about your feelings. Oh, I see. Well, all right then. And then he was just like, ah, fuck, I kill you. Like, oh, he's the scariest guy in the world. And then, of course, you get him as J. Jonah Jameson. Like, well, this guy can do all the comedy beats.
So on that, but before that, he was in The Gift, the Sam Raimi film. So
who
must have really liked
that?
Him in that. He was a sheriff.
All right.
He must have really enjoyed working with him in that and then transferred him to be J.
He
Jonah Jameson.
He feels like the kind of guy who'd be fun to talk to in between takes.
Yeah. Yeah, lots of stories.
Yeah, it looks like I'm sure J.K. Simmons will be coming back. I'm sure he'll be coming back.
Yeah.
Yeah. Money in the Bank, and I haven't seen Whiplash because again, how you feel about prison things? I feel about abusive teacher movies.
Yeah,
I'm not really that game for watching that.
Sure, I just feel like that about drum movies. As soon as you say it's got drums in it, I'm like, okay, shrug. I'm over it.
Really? Even if it was like the Ringo Starr story?
That's different.
How so?
Well, because he's the greatest drummer that ever lived.
Wow.
I'm obviously joking that I wouldn't watch a drum movie. Come on, I love that movie, Drum Majorette. So good. Greatest film ever.
What was that movie that's they're the drumming corps? What was it?
Drum Majorette.
It's not called Drum Majorette. It's called something else. Now I'm thinking, now the only thing is chicken drumsticks. Why have I got that in my head?
It's not called chicken.
It feels like the Majorettes. It feels like the Majorettes would be like the small wings that you would get like mixed in with the chicken legs.
The beat goes on?
Sure.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah, something. No, it was like Drumline or something. And there was like Drumline 2.
Maybe it's called Drumline.
Maybe.
Because remember that became popular for a while to do...
Beating Off, that's what it was called.
Offbeat.
Yeah. Oh, Offbeat. Don't even get me started on that. I got issues with the Offbeats. Anyway.
I don't know what it is.
Hey, Dave.
Yes. I like your voice there.
Well, let me tell you the story of my voice as we get to the end.
What is it?
You're
taking vocal fry in a whole new direction.
Yeah. My wife went to Paris.
She did.
And she's back and she's safe and everything was good.
Good.
And talked to a lot of artists and
sure.
It was great. Went
yeah.
Went around, did a lot of these their art galleries you're talking about.
Oh, went to Musée d'Orsay?
I do not know. I don't talk to
you
her.
Don't talk to your wife.
I don't talk to her about that.
You didn't want to see the slides?
I don't want to hear French talk.
She got all the slides all
Maybe
set up
she did.
And
Maybe
you left.
She did.
You left the house.
I
gotta get some bread.
Here's what I've been doing though.
Yeah.
Is like I've been putting together this stupid show.
Yeah.
So like I haven't had a lot of time to focus on
sure.
you know these
on
so
your
I'll,
wife.
So I'll watch a couple of pictures and then I gotta build a gun.
Yes, okay.
Anyway.
Is it a golden gun?
No, it's not a golden gun. Oh, we got a
The show will be over by the time the show comes out, so you can give away all the... Oh, no, don't give them away because I'm going to the show.
Yeah, you're going to the show. But here's what happened. When my wife was away, I sleep terribly when my wife is away. I sleep just terribly. Like, I'm asleep and just like, squeak. What? What was that?
Really?
What?
That happened?
Is that you, Satan?
Okay, when you are...
I'm going to go, ah, what? Ah, ghosts. And I don't believe in ghosts.
But when she's there, do you sleep like a log?
Pretty good, normally.
Are you a person who wakes up at the noises, or does she wake up at noise? Because one of you has to be the person who wakes up. That's an evolutionary thing that people marry someone
happens.
Who either
no.
Is
what
a
we got is we got two
late
cats
sleeper.
Who will tell
okay.
us.
Oh, okay.
And they'll come up and go like, "Hey, shit's going down."
Really?
Yeah. My wife's cat, she let her know about 9/11 when that was going on.
Really?
Because she had her earplugs in and the phone was ringing. And finally the cat just went, enough of this. You know, smack. You know, like, phone's ringing. What? Oh, okay. Hello? Thanks for telling me. Thanks, cat. And so, oh, that's sad. But yeah, so I'm like, I do not sleep at all. So I'm like, terrible. So what happens then is my immune system, goes crap. It goes bad. And what happens when my immune system goes crap is I have allergies, but they only happen when my immune system's down. So all of a sudden then I'm really allergic to dust and cats, of which I have two who are very lonely when my wife's away. So they're all over me and I'm getting so like, horrible things inside of me that will never cough out of my lungs. So that makes me sleep less while I'm also putting together this show. So I haven't slept for forever.
Yeah.
And I'm just a mess. And so, yeah, my throat is all crappy and this, and I got to sing a huge song tomorrow. And so I'm exhausted, Dave, is what I'm saying. I'm very, very tired. But she's back, and that's good.
That is good.
That's very, very
good. So you'll sleep like a log tonight.
I have been sleeping, but then I have like about three major coughing jags.
Yeah.
Like huge coughing jags, and I feel embarrassed about it, and I have to get out and sit. And so I'll watch, you know, something on MeTV. I'll watch a Columbo and cough.
Yeah.
Like now.
I'm a very, very deep sleeper. Like I am seriously, once I'm asleep, I am dead to the world.
You appreciate sleep on a deeper level than
anybody else. That's exactly right. I boast about my sleeping.
I get it, man. I'm a deep sleeper. But you know what? I get what I'm doing.
I'm a deep thinker and a deep sleeper.
Yeah, you interpret your dreams stinker. As they happen.
That's right, as they happen. I do that actually. I can stop a dream that I'm having. I can stop a dream. I'll be like, once it starts getting too tense or whatever, I'll be like, oh, this is a dream. Ridiculous. So I'll move on in the dream. I do that quite a bit.
Oh, that's a good skill.
It is a good skill. One time when I was a kid, I was sleeping. I babysat my cousins, and I had to stay over. And so I slept on the floor by my cousin's captain's bed. He was above me on this captain's bed.
Of course, he's captain. You can't sleep. Like, he's got to sleep above you as the captain.
Well, he went to bed before I did.
Right.
So,
by the way, if you stand up to him, is that a mutiny?
Yes. Yes. The whole thing was I don't know. I should have been in the captain's bed. I was the babysitter. I was the one who had to watch Mad World for the 14th time. Mm. Stupid Christmas or New Year's Eve babysitting jobs. So I was sleeping and he fell out of the captain's bed, fell on a chair. Then he and the chair fell on me and he was laying there crying. Mm-hmm. And my aunt and uncle came in, picked him up and put him back into bed and put the chair away and everything. And they told me about it in the morning because I did not wake up at all.
Wow.
I didn't even move.
There's a big problem. Asleep. There's a big problem with that in the babysitter.
That's why. Well, no, I was awake till they came home and then I went to sleep.
Okay.
That's why I married my wife, who will wake up when a fly bumps the window, even slightly taps it with its tiny little leg. She'll wake up and go, what's that? Dave, it's like Mary Tyler Moore not Mary Tyler Moore, but Mary
You're
Petty.
Right.
Mary and Rob Petty.
Has right. The same played thing. By Mary Tyler Moore.
You know, Rob, what was that? Dave, what was... Oh, she doesn't actually do that. She goes and explores. I just lay in bed, dead to the world.
You can. It's nice to know.
She goes and fights a raccoon.
You can throw a chair on you, and apparently.
Oh yeah.
But though this morning, as much as like I was just having a horrible time sleeping last night, and cough, heave, heave, blah, blah, blah. And this morning, like Pia wakes me up.
Yeah.
And says I slept through the alarm like an hour ago.
Oh.
And my alarm is ridiculously loud. Like it's just. Wah! Like next to my head, and just apparently I must have incorporated that into my dreams.
Yeah,
that doesn't make me happy when I hear that. Like it now makes me want to like build an alarm clock that mists me lightly.
Well, you should always put your alarm clock away from your bed.
Well, I wouldn't have heard it at all then. If
no, but like you have to step out of bed to turn it off.
Oh, I didn't turn it off. It just
it just went
like fuck it. You know, the alarm clock shrugged its shoulders and just walked away.
Can you just imagine it? It's covered in sweat.
Yeah.
It keeps beeping or blaring or whatever it's doing.
It's yelling to the other alarm clock. Like, I'm doing everything I can.
It's slowly losing its voice. Yeah. By the end of its thing, it was...
Clang, clang.
It's like, clang, clang, clang. Oh, guess I got some water. Oh, forget it.
Yeah.
And it just died right there. The other weird thing that happened to me a couple of weeks ago is I had a terrible leg cramp and it incorporated into my dream. Mm-hmm. I was dreaming I was in a paddle boat, you know, those little paddle boats that you pedal or pedal boat that you pedal for, you know, it works like this. For every 4,000 pedals that you make, you move an inch on the water, right? So in this dream, I had this terrible leg cramp and
a fish comes up to you and just goes, you can swim, right? Yeah. What the fuck, buddy? And it just keeps going.
That's right.
Yeah.
Is this really that enjoyable?
Yeah. You can swim, right? I know you can swim.
It's not.
There's no reason you should be doing this.
But I woke up in the morning, and I had a terrible leg cramp, and my leg was so sore I could barely stand on it.
Yeah.
Because I had this big knotted muscle in my calf. But I didn't wake up. It just incorporated itself into my dream. Yeah, weird, hey?
By the way, eat a banana.
I heard that. The potassium helps you.
Mm-hmm. It's, no, it's just very sexy.
The monkey grease.
Yeah, okay.
Did I say monkey grease? I meant to say banana grease. Oh, well,
oh, I like monkey grease.
Sure, whatever.
Yeah, whatever you use to grease your monkey. It's fine. We've had a lot of these kind of things today, and I apologize for that, folks. Listen, Dave and I passed a gentleman on the street today who said he liked the show and asked like what our website was. And I went like, I guess you never listened to the end of the show when we say sneakydragon.com.
I think people do stop listening to the show, but just so people know, often after the closing theme, there's a little sting.
The lottery numbers are
That's right. I'll tell you your fortune, then I'll tell you your lottery number, your winning lottery numbers. So don't miss
that,
everybody.
And we'll tell you the one thing Dave said that was a lie during the episode.
That's right.
Well, here's the thing, by the way. Every podcast I listen to, let me tell you this.
Oh, sorry.
Dave?
Every podcast you listen to?
Every one of them.
Yes.
I skip the first 10 minutes.
Why?
Ugh, boring.
But ours is good.
Yeah, it's fine. But like every podcast I listen to, I started, you know, traditionally with your Mark Marons, where you're just like, that's enough. I'll just listen to.
You just want the interview. You want the meat.
I just want the interview. Yeah. But then I found like even when it's a straight interview, I don't like hearing, so where were you born? What'd you do when you were born and a child? I don't care.
I don't care.
Like, and that was the same thing when I used to read the Comics Journal and read interviews with cartoonists.
Yeah.
Flip to third page. Let's see what's going on.
Third page. That's probably like 15th page. Those are their interviews.
Yeah, I just don't care. Like, what you grew up in a what with how many sisters and what happened and when was your first bike?
But no, but that's not.
What did your dad do for a living?
It doesn't take very long. No, it doesn't take very long
now.
But it doesn't take very long for them to get to what they were reading and what influenced them.
I don't know. I don't even know that.
You don't know what influence those cartoonists you ignored their early years.
I don't care. And it's the same thing with podcasts.
Like, I know.
Every podcast, you know, with the exception of maybe
ours,
even This American Life, the first thing off the top is a little fluffy bit of fluffer nutter. And it's like, let's get past that and get to the meat of the matter.
Sure.
10 minutes in and all podcasts are great.
Huh.
And I usually listen to the end, and then when they start doing this stuff, I cut them off. So I don't listen to this. But if you are still listening, sneakydragon.com is our website, and we do like to hear from you. So please.
www.sneakydragon.com.
Yeah, sneakydragon.com. Oh, HTTP.
S. It's a secure site.
Is it?
No, I don't think
I don't
so.
Know.
Maybe the shopping.
But
the
please comment on things.
The store is a secure site.
Don't insult us directly. Let's go with that.
No, I'm fine with that.
Don't directly insult us.
Unlike you, I was fine with that.
No, it's not good. Don't do it. Don't directly insult us. But we do like to hear from you. We're also like on Facebook, of course. Sneaky Dragon on Facebook.
Do you feel like we lost a listener there because of my comments that people were dumb last week?
I don't know.
Did I wreck the show?
I think any listeners we lost were just fucking idiots. We're at sneaky_dragon on Twitter.
Yes, we are.
And sneakyd@sneakydragon.com is our email.
Just want to thank Stuart, who I think it's Stuart.
By the way, I don't think
send me a link about Bell and Sebastian on the radio in Scotland.
Oh, nice.
I enjoyed that quite a bit.
Yeah, we enjoy being sent things.
I do.
If you like being sent things, we have a merch section on our page.
Mm-hmm.
Shirts. Oh, and more.
Shirts.
Basically just shirts.
Here's the thing. If you order a shirt from us, you don't just get the shirt. You get a copy of a comic.
You get flakes of skin.
You get a copy of a comic.
Okay, yep.
You get some buttons, and you get some stickers. So it's not just a shirt. You're getting...
It's a sticky shirt.
It's a sticky shirt.
With a staple that came loose from the comics that's somewhere in your shirt that's going to cut you.
It's torn the shirt.
Yeah.
And the ink from the comic got the shirt all dirty, and the buttons burst the envelope, and they fall out somewhere along the journey.
And there you go.
What the fuck was I thinking?
Yeah, you don't.
I shouldn't put that stuff in there.
That's on our merch.
Forget it. All you're getting now is a shirt.
SneakyDragon.com. That's our merch. Thank you so much. I'm sorry I sound so exhausted right now. I will try to be more awake next week. From Dave.
What's that?
And Dave's just joining us. Dave was in the other room whipping it out.
I'm sorry. I was.
Thanks for listening.
I was thinking about it anyway.
We've been Sneaky Dragon. I don't like hearing that at all. Oh, God, I don't want to end with that. But what can I do? You have yourself a nice day. And listen at the end of the music. There might be something there. Dave usually puts something there. I don't like him doing it, but he does it. So, bye.
Bye, everyone.
see what happens if we don't do a show. And then our ratings went up. Okay, here we go.
That's what would happen.
Go on, there's no room for laughter on this show. Stop it. Settle down.